The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the singing, Lord, this morning, God, how you've already touched our heart. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just bless in this part of the service. Pray, God, we'd be attentive to your word. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to get what we need, Lord, to be a help in this journey in these days. And God, help us, Lord, to look to you and for all that we need. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to put you first in our life in these days. God, be concerned about the place that you have in these days. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 2, like I said, we're going to back up and touch on some thoughts here in this passage of Scripture. We preached the rest of the story maybe already. So it's kind of a maybe a Paul Harvey backwards. We done gave you the rest of the story, but we're going to back up and give you the first of the story. And but the Scripture tells us here, and I guess that it's a little hard maybe for us to comprehend how that they would have to journey to the place of their birth in order to, and kind of maybe the thought you might want to get in thinking about this, and maybe you've thought about this before, is like a census. They're going, and of course they're going to be taxed, but they're all going back to the place of birth, the lineage of through the lineage of David, the house of David, and this is, they're going to go to Bethlehem. And that was just, you know, everything that happened was just right in line with what God, I mean, God can use anything. Amen. Amen. Lord God, it's hard to figure out how he's going to use taxes, but here he's using taxes. Amen. My heavens. But he can use an evil king. He can use an evil ruler. The Bible says he puts them up and he takes them down. You know, I've been very much discouraged in the leader of our country now. But he has made a few things in the last couple of weeks that are some good moves. But I think it's just political. But if there's some good moves and some good things happen, it's just the mercy of God holding us out for a little bit longer and helping us just a little bit longer for His goodness and for His glory. And we ought to always realize that no matter what happens, God's the one that's in charge. I mean, God's the one that's in control. I mean, can you imagine them making this journey, and this journey just happened to happen while Mary is, you know, just fixing to give birth? No, it didn't just happen to happen like that. Amen. It is in God's plan. It is in God's will. Because in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, it says that he'd be born in Bethlehem. It says he'd be born there in Bethlehem. So it's just right in line with God's leadership and God's direction. The Bible tells us they went there. And I know that we've thought about this story many, many times. And it's sad that we don't think about it as much as we should. Amen. God's plan and God's direction, it's all important. It's all important all year long, praise God. It's important how the Lord came and what He did for us. It's a blessing. We can rehearse it in our heart and in our mind as we think about it. I mean, they took this journey, and I mean, just as the children of Israel, think about them in the wilderness for 40 years. If God can take care of them in the wilderness for 40 years, He can take care of Joseph and Mary. He can take care of them all the way to the birth, and after that, praise God, everything's going to fall right in the plan of God. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, here they go, and Mary comes, and the Bible tells us the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. But because of this great number of people, and we don't know. I mean, I've heard estimates and everything, and we won't go into that, but there could have been a great multitude, a great number of folks that didn't have a place to stay that night. But ain't it something that Mary and Joseph was among that crowd that didn't have nowhere to stay that night? Ain't that something? I mean, they went down and they checked every motel in town, and it was booked up. They seen, I mean, if it's today, they'd go. I mean, you ever been to some of them, places that we go sometimes for vacation, and all of them's got these motels packed in there, and all of them still got them old neon signs. They still got them old neon signs, and they'll have that, and what you're looking for is the one that don't say N-O, right? No vacancy. You're looking for one that just says vacancy. And sometimes if you waited till the last moment, it's on July the 4th, you waited till the last, you can't find a hotel in town. You can't find nowhere to stay. This was crowded, it's packed. They couldn't find nowhere to stay. Bible tells us in verse 8, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And if it would stop right there, we would wonder, why is he in a manger? We'd wonder why he's in a feeding trough for a cow, a feeding trough for the horses. We'd wonder why the Lord Jesus Christ is born in a barn somewhere. Or as it may have been in that day, some say it may have just been like an old cave there that was back behind the building. And they said, we ain't got nowhere else left. We ain't got nowhere else that we can put you. But we do have this barn you can stay in for the night. Ain't that something? But the scripture goes on to record, because there was no room for them in the inn. Because there was no room for them in the inn. You say, preacher, I know about this story. I know about this, all right? But let's think about it a little bit and a couple different ways this morning. I want you to get this thought. A couple different directions I want to go with this thought. I mean, I want to go with this thought concerning the sinner, and I want us to look at this thought concerning the saint. The Bible tells us here there was no room for them in the inn. I wonder how many today that we can think about, and the title of the message, you'll get it real quick, the title of the message is No Room for Jesus. Amen. No room for Jesus. How many folks in this world today are right there in that category? How many folks today are right there in that verse? They don't have no room for the Lord. Now I want to tell you something. Somebody's got a place to stay. Somebody's got an establishment. I think if there was somebody of importance that would come by, they'd find a room.
That's right.
Amen. They'd kick somebody out. Amen. There'd be somebody else they'd put in the barn. They'd say, well, you, hey, buddy, you can just go to the barn. We got a king coming in here. Amen? Hey, you can just go back to the barn yourself. I'll empty out a room. I'll make a place. In fact, I tell you what the owner would say. Bless God, he'd say, you take my room. You stay in my house. You stay in the best place there is. Me and my family will go back there in that barn. But Lord God, here comes the king. Here comes the king of glory that's coming in. Praise God that night. You say, well, they didn't know all of that. Yeah, but there's some folks, they're just going about in their life and they act like they ain't no God, they ain't no Lord, they ain't no Jesus on the throne, they ain't nobody that can help them. They're just continuing their situation and they just don't care at all to make room for Jesus in their lives. Think about it. I mean, there's everybody. Everybody needs some peace. Amen? Yep. Amen? Am I the only one that ever goes through any trouble? Everybody needs a little peace. Amen? You ever heard, has ever got real crazy around the house and you've said, I need a little peace and quiet? Amen. Has ever happened, Brother Kenny? I need some peace and quiet. Karen's going to say amen whether you do or not on that one. I need some time to get away. I need a little peace and quiet. Hey, I tell you what, this world, whether they realize it or not, they're looking for peace. But they got to make room in their heart. They got to make room in their life for Jesus, though. They're fulfilling that peace a lot of times in a lot of different ways.
Boy, ain't it good that the Lord came. And he said, let me give you this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." I like that track, that the fellowship track that we passed it out a lot before, and it says on the front of it, "Is something missing? Is something missing?" The first time they put that thing together, they had an individual with holes. They had an individual with holes in them. I'm talking about the spaces missing in their heart, missing their life. They actually changed that. They got one now. It's like a puzzle. It looks like a puzzle, and there's a piece missing out of the puzzle. I found out why they said that. They said, you know, it might give an indication of gunshots or whatever, holes in them or whatever. But anyhow, however you get the picture, you ought to get the picture that everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs God. That's not, their life's not going to fit together right. They're not going to have the real peace that they need in their heart and their life unless they have Jesus. You say, well, what's going on? Well, what's going on is they put something in there to fill that void for a while. They've put something in there to fill that void, whether it be drugs or alcohol, whether it be money, whether it be a status that they have, whether it be whatever it might be, anything that they can get, anything they can put in there and fill up that hole, fill up that void, fill up that piece that's missing, they do that where this body, where their mind, where their soul can be eased for a little bit. I'll tell you what, that's another reason we still need some old-time preaching. We still need somebody still preaching the book. We still need somebody preaching the Word of God. Hey, man, in this day and time, we got folks that want to come to church and they want to look around and find a church where somebody's not going to preach against anything. They're not going to preach about, they're not going to talk about that hole that's in their heart. They're not going to talk about that void that's in their life. And the bad thing is they'll come in, they'll leave a twofold child of hell. They'll think everything's all right. They'll be compromised into believing and understanding, well, that's a church, that's a preacher, I'm doing all right. And they get to heaven, there's still going to be a void in their life. They stand before God one of these days at the throne, so I'm talking about. They're not going to get to heaven with that, with Jesus missing in their life. No room for Jesus. Think about the sinner. As far as the sinner is, I'm just going to give you one point on each one of these. And the last one, I got four sub-points, but I'm just going to give you one two-point message with one section there with four sub-points. Anyhow, number one, about the sinner, think about it. There's no room for Jesus in their soul. There's no room for Jesus in their heart, in their soul. I mean, they've got everything else there. And, you know, if he's anywhere, he's back over there in the barn. If he's anywhere, he's back on the outside. He's not on the inside. You know, now they like to hear about him every once in a while. Amen. At Easter and at Christmas, they like to hear about him. How many folks are going to come in churches this season and come in there and they ain't never been no other time? I heard somebody on the radio, and I forget, it wasn't, you know, a good Bible-believing church probably. But I commend the fella for saying something. It might have been a Lutheran church. It was either a Methodist church or a Lutheran church. The fella was talking about them coming. It's probably a Lutheran church. It was Christmas Eve they came. And man, he said the church is about packed out. And he said that preacher got up there and he just lamb-blasted that crowd that hadn't been there all year long. And I say amen to that. Praise God. I mean, he nailed them. I mean, up one side and the other. He got all over that crowd. Better say he felt uncomfortable and everything, and maybe some of them won't be back the next year. But that's just the way it is. Yes, what they're saying is, I'll make a little room for him at Christmas. Uh-huh. I'll make a little room for him at Easter. Amen. That's not good enough. Amen. Amen. Lord God, I remember old J. Harold Smith, for many years he'd preach, and he'd give an invitation like this sometimes. He'd say, listen, You let spiritually, you let an elevator drop down in the soul of your heart and look inside that heart. If you've got church membership, that ain't enough. If you just signed a card one day, that ain't enough. If you got your name on a roll, if you got baptism, if you got all these other things, but you look in there and you see if you can find Jesus in there. Has the Lord moved inside? Are you saved? If you're saved, Jesus moved in. Amen. And I'll tell you what, He's going to make up residence. He's going to make up, He's going to stay, praise God. He's going to be there. Like I said about that little kid, you know, that little kid said, hey, if Jesus on the inside should see him sticking out somewhere as big as God is, amen, we ought to see. Hey, you can't be saved and have somebody move in. Hey, you can't be saved and have somebody move in like the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when you're saved and that happens, amen, it makes a difference in your life.
Yes, sir.
Bible says old things pass away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
Praise God. I mean, somebody move in. I mean, you got somebody just move up in there with you, you know. I say the whole family had to, I mean, that's gone for somebody that's gone up there to West Virginia. And I had to move in. I'd go over there to Brother Todd's house. I'd knock on the door and I'd say, Brother Todd, I don't want to be alone. I'm going to stay over there a while. Is that all right? And he'd say, well, yeah, okay. But after, you know, after I raid the refrigerator every night, and after I, me and Josh both raided, or whoever else is there raiding the refrigerator and everything, you know, you're going to tell if somebody's moved in, ain't you? Brother Todd, you reckon you'd know if I was there?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, Lord God, I didn't get this. Somebody seen me a couple services ago, and they seen me and they said, man, your wife's fattening you up a little bit, ain't she? I said, well, okay, yes. And I went like that. But I'll tell you what, somebody moves in, you're going to know they're there, praise God. I mean, if Jesus moves in your heart, hey, yeah, some folks, they don't have no room. They're pushing him out. They don't have no room for Jesus in their heart and in their life. The Bible says, listen to this, John chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Bible says down in verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord said, I'm the door. Praise God. If you get saved, and I know, folks, and this is the thing that's been going on for years in our country and in our churches and things, just, you know, just being tolerant of other religions and everything. And I'm 100% for freedom of religion. Praise God, I believe we need it. We thank God for a country we can have freedom of religion, freedom for us to worship. But I tell you what, from the very founding of our country, you find document after document that talks about the propagation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's kind of a long word we don't use anymore. But what it was is they were concerned about the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ getting to those that didn't know the Lord.
Amen.
Whether they was Indians, whether they was from another country, whether they was in the colonies, whatever, they always talked about the propagation of the gospel. We ain't heard much of that. In fact, I guess the closest we ever heard to that is one president talking about it being this country being like a light set upon a hill. Ronald Reagan many times made reference to this country being like a light set upon the hill. And he made reference to all the missionaries that were sent out. And he made reference to us lifting up Jesus. Made a wonderful proclamation one year at Christmas time. Man, that was tremendous. But anyhow, think about it. I mean, we have got to a point now that we say, oh, there's many ways to heaven. Oh, you got your way, you got your religion, and that's all right. That's all right as far as freedom's concerned, and we want that to continue in our country. But as far as, hey, there is a way to heaven, and every other way is going to lead you to hell, is what the Bible teaches. You come up a thief and a robber if you come any other way. Somebody was telling us one time, I remember we had an atheist. He used to come around. He'd come around and try to talk to my dad. And there was sometimes my dad told me just go back in the house. He didn't want me even to hear what this fella had to say. There's a few times I heard a little bit of the conversation before I left and everything. And one thing that fella was saying, well, don't you think there's many roads? And they said immediately, no, there's only one way. There's only one way through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, just believe in anything. Put faith and trust in anything and it's all right. No, no, there's only one way. He said, I am the door. He didn't say, I am one of the doors. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. Amen. There's no room. And a lot of folks, there's no room for Jesus concerning the sinner. But also I want you to look at the saint. Let me give you a few points here. Amen. But think about the saint. Sometimes there's no room concerning the saint. Let me give you this verse. Now this verse can be applied to both. But I want to say this verse, first application is to the Christian. Or to the religious crowd anyhow. I mean, you may can say some of them's not Christians, but they're religious. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You say, preacher, now I've shared that to the sinner. Well, there's an application there. You can share that to the sinner. But you find the context of what it's talking about. It's talking about a Laodicean church age. The Lord was talking to the church. He wasn't talking to the sinner. He said, I stand. Now get this. He said, I stand at the door and knock. You ever seen that painting, the picture, description of Christ? And he's got him there standing at a door and knocking. Well, every time I've seen one, there's no door handle on the outside. There's no door handle on the outside. He's on the outside knocking. And whoever's on the inside has to open up and let him in.
Amen.
Now, of course, we can apply that to the sinner. But it's also applicable, and the first application is to the saint because it's a Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age is saying, we don't have no room for Jesus. He's left on the outside trying to get in. He's left on the outside of the church trying to get in. Ain't that something? He's like he was there. In that manger. Wasn't in a nice room. Wasn't in the finest room. That's where he should have been. He should have been in the finest room that man had to offer. Should have been the finest room. Should have been in the palace, praise God. Because he's a King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. But he was over in the barn. Because he didn't have no room for him. Didn't have no room for the Lord. And he's over there in the barn. He's over there in the stable. He's born in a manger. Boy, what a beautiful picture we can see as the Lord humbles himself and he says, whosoever will can come unto me. We know the poorest can come. We know the richest can come because the wise men came. We know anybody can come because the shepherds came. Anybody, whosoever will can come to the Lord and be saved. But that saint, think about that saint, that church and the church and the religious crowd. Sometimes he's on the outside a knocking. Trying to get in. Sometimes with the saint of God, you say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? He's on the inside. Yes, but is he, what place does he have in our life? Is he first in our life? I tell you what, the Lord, the Bible tells us, the first commandment says that our God is a jealous God. He don't want second place. He don't want third place. He don't want the barn. He don't want back outside somewhere. He wants preeminence in our lives. He wants us to be first in our life. That's exactly where the Lord should be as far as the saint is concerned. And the sinner too. If he gets saved, that'll be the right track. Amen. But let me give you a few thoughts about that. Like I said, I got one point about it. Just thinking about our stewardship. We said the sinner, we need to think about his soul. The Bible says, what profited a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? The sinner needs to think about his soul, that he would turn it over to Jesus Christ. But the Christian needs to think about his stewardship. He needs to think about what he, as after he's saved by the grace of God, God has given us something to do. And where's the Lord's place in our lives? Think about it for a few moments. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Apostle Paul said, hey, let's account of ourselves as stewards to God. Let's consider ourselves as ministers unto the Lord. That's what we've been called to do. If we're saved, we're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now part of an ambassage, if you will, bringing a message to this earth, a heavenly message, a message from another country, a representative for another country, praise God. How are we representing the Lord in these days? Blessing to see the tradition and the old, and I love listening, especially every message that we listen that we heard parts of last night that was in black and white stirred my soul. Amen. Because everyone that was old and back in black and white, I know he is out of that King James Bible, praise God, and he's right on the right track, and he wasn't compromising with the Catholics and everything else in that time. Back in them old days, praise God. Thank God for a good start. Thank God for a preaching of the Word of God and the message of the gospel that went out, and hundreds and thousands have got saved down through the years. But that message, boy, that message is still true today. That message of salvation, that message of the Lord, that message that He needs to be a part of our lives. He needs to be, praise God, have the preeminence in our lives. It says it's required, not suggested, but required. Most stewards that we be found faithful. Praise be unto God. It's not a suggestion in these days. It's a requirement that the Lord gives us. He says, hey, I'm not just suggesting you give me a place. I'm requiring you give me a place. I'm not just suggesting to the Christian that you use me as a spare tire. I'm not suggesting to the Christian that I'm always out there in the barn, but I'm commanding you and requiring you to put you first in my life. That's what we should do. Praise God. Let me say to the Christian, let me say to the saint, is there any room for Jesus? Is there any room for Jesus in our lives? Boy, it ought to be that we're saying, well, Lord, I'm going to clean everything up and give you the best place. I'm going to give you the best place to be and the best place to stay. Wouldn't we do that for somebody that we know of importance that would come by and say, I'm going to visit with you. I'm going to stay with you a while. May not do that for the preacher, I know. I go back to my illustration. But I mean, Brother Todd, if it was somebody very important, amen, Lord God, the mayor came by, or somebody in council or whatever, I don't know. Somebody in NASCAR came by. You're giving the best place, you know. You're giving the best room, and everything will be cleaned up. Everything will be right, you know. Oh, you'd fall over backwards getting everything right. What about Jesus? What about the Lord? Have we got room for Him in our life? Or is He over in the barn, in the stable still? Or do we have room for Him? Does He have that preeminence in our lives in these days? In our stewardship? Think about it. Let me give you a few thoughts on this, and I'm done. A few more points, and I'll be done. Let me say, first of all, as far as our stewardship, think about our time. Think about our time. You know, we a lot of times talk about tithing and everything. Maybe I'll probably get on that before we get done too. And I know it'll get quiet there, but I'm going to just remember when it gets quiet, I'll preach longer. So help us out a little bit. Get some amens. If I have to amen myself, praise God, it'll take longer. If I have to get in there and amen myself, it'll take longer to preach. But think about, our time. Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time. Those who are without are concerning those that are lost. He says, walk in wisdom. We need to be wise about the way we walk, because those that are lost, he says, those that are without. That's what the Bible says. He said, redeeming the time. And I've heard this before, and we've said it before. You know, somebody, Jesus, the only Bible they see may be, and the only thing they see of Jesus may be in our lives. And that's a good verse to go along with. He said, walk in wisdom. If we're wise, if we're stewards of what God's given us, if we, praise God, if we're concerned about giving an account one of these days to God, we're going to walk in such a way that we're concerned about the time the Lord's given us. And I know we've heard this, you know, say, oh, well, you know, I don't have time. Now, you can't blame that on nobody but God. You say, what are you talking about? Blame that. He said in Genesis chapter 1, He created the day and the night. And the first day, and every day thereafter, But the first day, he said it was good. The evening and the morning of the first day, and it was good. He put 12 hours in the day, 12 hours in the night, and he said it was good. He said that was enough time for you. It was enough time for me. 24 hours was enough for us to get what we need done and also get what we need done for the Lord. We can't say there's not enough time because we're telling God he messed up when he put this thing together. There is enough time, but we need to prioritize our time. We need to make sure that, praise God, we put some room in there for Jesus. We put some room in our schedule for the Lord. I suggest he ought to be on the top of the list. Amen. Didn't want to suggest that. He said he's the first fruits, praise God. The Bible tells us he should have the preeminence. Think about our time, and I heard Johnny a few years ago preach a lot about this and about the time, and think about redeeming the time, and that we ought to tithe our time. If we do that, it's going to be more than being here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That ain't even a tithe. You know, that ain't even 10%. If we was to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and never miss a service, be here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, and never miss a service, we ain't tithing our time yet. They still got to be some time in Bible reading. There still needs some time in prayer. There's still some time in witnessing. There still needs to be some time that we can put in there, and then we'll be at 10%. But, you know, and that's not what we need to do under grace neither. Let me preach a little more about that. That's not what we need to do under grace. Somebody say, that tithe is in the Old Testament. Yeah, but grace giving's more than 10%. Grace giving's more. That's just the starting point is the 10%. So in our time, it's all right for us to do more than 10% in our time to God. More for the glory of God. Hey, God's given us the time, and I think about it. And you know, I was here one time before on a watch night service and preached that message about the empty calendar. I remember that. I brought me a calendar with me, and somehow I threw it over the pulpit there, and I flipped every month and showed you an empty calendar. It didn't have anything on it. Those are here several years ago. But you know what? You could think about, take it the other way around, and let's look back to 2009. Let's flip that 2009 calendar and see how many things we had scheduled in there for God. Oh, it'd be a shame probably to all of us. I'll say right now, I know it'd be a shame to me. I hadn't put as much time as I need to. I look back to times in my life that I did more for the Lord than I did in 2009. Amen. I mean, unto God. I can think of other times I'm more excited about things. I'll tell you what, the devil sidetracked me some. Now, he might not you. You might have been right on track the whole year. You might be 100% the whole year. But I'll tell you, I guarantee you, the devil sidetracked me, and I hadn't done as much for the Lord as I should have done in 2009. There's been a lot of bumps. There's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of things. Amen. I've turned this thing into a New Year's message, maybe. Amen. I know some of the preachers are going to preach. They're going to write down some thoughts here. You just preach it again, praise God. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The time that we can give to the Lord. Second of all, and I've got to head on. Well, let me go ahead and hit that tithe while I'm here, and we'll get to the other one. But think about it. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, says, will a man rob God? And I think in the original there it says right after that, will a man rob God? Duh. Like the young people say, duh. Will a man rob God? It says, yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Now, it's a bad thing to steal. It's a bad thing to rob from somebody and to steal from somebody. But I reckon the worst person you could ever rob from is the person that gave you breath. The person that gave you life. The person that gives you the opportunity to live day after day. By him all things consist, the Bible says. Whole unto God. It'd be a whole lot better for us to go steal from the bank or steal from somewhere else than to continually steal from God. Will a man rob God? Yes. Get on a Baptist parking lot, I make sure I lock my doors at a Baptist church everywhere I go. And I mean, I've seen in the best of churches, I have seen some stuff going on like that. I mean, one church we had an epidemic of folks stealing gas. Some of the gas caps was left hanging off and everything. Good fundamental Bible believing church. And I don't know if it was somebody else coming by and it was a shouting church. I don't know, maybe we were shouting so much we didn't know it was out there stealing from us. Or maybe it's some of the other members that wasn't tithing. They went out there and stole. They could steal the gas. They could steal the money from God, whatever. But you know what? I think it's important. I mean, I'm just I ain't trying to make light of it. But think about it. I mean, if God said that you can make it on the 90%, either God's a liar or you can make it. And I'm just going to believe God and believe you can make it. We can make it. I mean, I know we could have testimony, certainly. I guarantee there's family after family that could testify that they've been tithing for the Lord, and they ain't never went hungry. They ain't never lost a meal. God's been taking care of them, and they've still been given to God, and they've been given their tithe, and they've been given above that in their offering, and God's still good. Praise God, and God's taking care of them all the way. And I remember old Billy Kelly talking about preaching somewhere. He supplied at a church one time. He was supply pastor for that. He was crazy. I mean, if you ever heard him, didn't you, brother? You been around, heard him sing and preach, and man, he was a blessing. But old Billy Kelly, he said one time he was supply pastor. And he said he was going around to some of the members, different ones that were sick and different things are going on, and he knew a little bit about what was going on in a few families. But this one lady he was visiting for a while, and boy, she just couldn't keep from talking about all the time she'd been in the hospital and all the operations and all the things that happened, and talking about her gallbladder and her gallstones. She even got jars out and showing the gallstones and everything. And he picked that jar up and looked at it, and he said, "You know what? That's the funniest looking ties I ever seen." He knew that she hadn't been tithing. He said, "God got it out somewhere, didn't he? God got it. It'll happen. It'll show up at the repair shop. It'll show up in different things. Hey, I tell you what, it'd be better for us to go ahead and believe God and trust God and know God's going to take care of us." Amen.
Amen.
We need some room for Jesus there. C.H. Spurgeon said, you got to have three books to have church. You got to have the Bible, you got to have a song book, and you got to get Baptists to let go of their pocketbook. Thirdly, let me say, think about our talents. We need to have room for Jesus concerning our time, concerning our tithes and our stewardship to God in these areas, and concerning our talent. God gives us a talent. God gives us ability. We ought to use it for God. I believe that. Amen. Praise God. Did I get one or two amens? I can stop there and preach a while too. Amen. I mean, really, God's given us the ability, and God gives us a talent to do something for Him. I believe we ought to use it for the Lord. We ought to use it for God. Matthew chapter 25 verse 15 says, He said unto one, He gave five talents, to another two, and another one, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. That's a picture of the Lord. The Lord knows what you're able to do. I don't. But you know, God does. God knows what we're able to do. And God's given us something to do. I mean, there's not a one of us that we can't do something for the glory of God. There ain't a one of us that we can't make room for Jesus in our lives. God's given us an ability. God's given us a talent. We ought to use it for the Lord. We ought to trust God to help us and to bless us. And He used us in whatever He's given us. And He's given us all a talent. Hey, there was some that had more. But there was some that had, one had five, one had two, one had one. Yeah. You remember what the one that had one did? He didn't increase at all in what he had. He didn't use it at all. He buried it. He put it back in the barn. Yeah. He put it back in the stable. He put it back there and just covered it up and didn't use it at all. Oh, how sad a picture it could be for us to think about. But I'll tell you what, hey, it's a blessing to look forward. Amen. I like this time of the year. It's a blessing to look forward. The 2010, thank glory to God. Hey, church didn't fill up in 2009, but it can fill up in 2010. Amen. That's right. I believe that. Amen. It can fill up in 2010. Hey, the scripture, let me give you another thought and I'm done. Think about this. I preached last Sunday night about our service to God and things of that nature. But I thought about this toll for the Lord. This toll. Think about the time, the tithes, the talents, and then the toll. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. So many times we wait too late, you know. I mean, really, we wait too late. One of these days, it's going to be too late for folks to come to Jesus and be saved. One of these days, it's going to be too late for Christians to get right with God and get out of a lazy attitude. I was trying to think of a better word. What's that? Lazy-daical? What is it? Lackadaisical? But I said lazy. And that's just what we get into. We get into it from this world and this world system and everything. But unto God, we ought to be busy for the Lord. I was at a church, and it's probably the quickest, Brother Pete, I ever got called on to preach. Just a month or so ago, unto God, I was there at that church, and the preacher, he didn't know what to do and what was going on. He wanted to try to find God. I believe he tried to find God on it and everything. Then he was up there for a little bit, and he said, Keith Lindsay's going to come up here and preach. And I looked around and said, I was looking for that other. There's another Keith Lindsay. We had him here. I was looking for him to be in the crowd somewhere. But he said, Keith Lindsay's going to come up here and preach. Well, I know the song. He's going to come up here and preach. Praise God. But I turned to that passage right there. Say ye not 4 months. Unto God, if somebody ain't saved, don't wait. Don't pass it up. Today's the day of salvation. If we ain't using our talents for the Lord, today's a good day to start. If we ain't tithing like we should, today's a good day to start. From now on, hey man, I guarantee you could do it right from now to the end of the year. You ain't got too much longer, praise God. Wouldn't that be a good test? Amen. I mean, spiritually, between you and the Lord, say, Lord, I know I can handle it from now till the end of December. I know I can handle it from now till the end of the year. And then the Lord might say, well, I'll let you handle it a little bit longer, praise God. I'll just give you the strength to make it in the next month and the next. Amen. That's the problem most time. We look at a whole year and we say, man, I'm going to really do something that year. We need to do something today. We need to do something now. Now's the accepted time, the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Hey, Lord God, I tell you the fields are white to harvest. I've had more. I can't think of a time that I've had more people just walk up to me and ask me something and talk to me about the Lord. Total strangers. This week. I ain't talking about no other. I mean, this week. I had two or three people come up to me and I know we got some verses of Scripture on the car and I've been wearing that hat some, Brother Don, you gave me. God is good all the time. And I forget I got it on sometimes, you know. And so somebody will start talking and say, now, let me ask you a question. I said, okay. Then I realized why they started the conversation. You know what? The fields are wide in the harvest. Folks are looking for some answers. There's some folks realizing they need to make a little room for Jesus. There's some folks realizing that they need, and I tell you what, we need some Christians that are just willing to be there where God can use them for His glory. Have your big old pocket full of tracts and just have that opportunity to tell them something about the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Everyone stand if you would. The musicians will come around and we'll have a song of invitation. Lord knows your heart.